coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel, and if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Well, welcome back, my fellow Second Amendment brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you again. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to be speaking with Jim Keller, one of the co-hosts from Big Buck Registry Podcast. We'll be talking about, the big 10-point buck that he shot this year. We'll be talking about the 450 Bushmaster. They are gaining in popularity, and we'll talk about that as well, and you'll learn something about that. And then we'll also talk about some very embarrassing things that happened to me while I was hunting this year. So this is our post-deer hunt special for the year. Even though deer hunting season isn't over yet, it's almost over. You know, the fat lady hasn't sang yet, but she's warming up in the side bays there. Okay, I had a good Thanksgiving. I was with friends and family, had a good time. We have a tradition at our house. You know, Sarah and I and the three little ones. The day after Thanksgiving, we start watching a different Christmas movie every single day. And we started out a few days ago with Die Hard by Bruce Willis. That is one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. And I know some of you out there are saying, Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. Well, you're wrong. It is. It's a great Christmas movie. I mean, they've got Christmas music right inside it. And it happens. It's set during Christmas time. I mean, what a party. The Nakatomi Building, I mean, shooting everything up. You're blowing stuff sky high. Dead bodies falling out of the skyscrapers from the 30th floor. It is a great, great movie. Lots of action. Good Christmas stuff. Word of warning, there's some, how shall we say it? There's some language there that isn't appropriate for your 10-year-old, okay? Or your 12-year-old or your 14-year-old. Actually, if I talk that way, my wife would beat me to death, with a large stick. So just be aware of that. But I love Bruce Willis movies, and I love Die Hard. So we started out with that, and then the next day we moved to a Charlie Brown Christmas, and we've also watched a Little House on the Prairie. So, you know, you think, I definitely jump around a lot, don't I? You know, I go from Little House on the Prairie to Bruce Willis and Die Hard. And, you know, tonight I believe we're watching Die Hard 2, which, of course, it's also a Christmas movie. And, sometime between now and Christmas, we'll be watching It's a Wonderful Life. And we have a whole stack of 30 movies that we're going to watch between now and Christmas Day. And probably we won't get through all of them, so we'll watch. We'll be watching them all the way up to probably New Year's. Winter is rough for me. I think it's the oldness factor. I mean, 61 years old, my bones get cold in November, and they don't warm up again till, middle of April, maybe end of April, depending on the weather here in Michigan. You know how Michigan weather gets. But hey, I'm going to make the best out of it. We've got a nice hot fire going. The fireplace is roaring, and we keep the house about 85 degrees. I mean, we would never do that in the summertime. 85 degrees in the summer is like sweltering. But in the winter, when it's like 20 degrees out, in 20-mile-an-hour wind, 85 degrees feels so darn good. My training season has slowed down, as it typically does. During the winter months, I train primarily outside on a square range, but we do a lot of moving, a lot of shooting, and you just can't really do that in the wintertime because you're on snow and ice, and it's just not safe. Speaking of just not safe, someone sent me a Facebook link. I want to thank Ryan for that. Thank you, Ryan, for making me aware of this. And this link, I'll go to it now. It is on armslist.com on Facebook. Just check out ArmsList. And boy, they were linking to a video that was put out there by a group called Rockwell Tactical Group. I watched this video in amazement. You know, it's not that long, but it's just a video of people on the square range, and people are constantly walking back and forth in front of other people who are firing. Now, I've seen stuff like this before where people will stand downrange and be stationary while people are shooting past them. And the theory there is that it desensitizes you to, you know, the stigma of a gunfight. You go ahead and you can feel the bullets whizzing past you. You know, and I watch this kind of stuff. And this one's even worse because the people are moving steadily back and forth in front of you as you're shooting. And, you know, I got to tell you, folks, you know, I understand the principle behind what they're trying to do. And, you know, when we were in the Marines, we did things like that. But Marines are different than civilians. I mean, no one would ever deny that. I mean, we would go through an infiltration course. We'd have, you know, C4 going off in bunkers next to us. There'd be, you know, live machine gun fire going off over our heads as we crawled under, you know, barbed wire, concertina wire, and stuff like that. I don't know if the Marines still do that. I mean, this was like 40-some years ago. But, you know, the military, they have different rules of engagement. They have a different mission. It's expected that when you're in the Marines, any given day, you could die, right? And in the civilian world, it's not like that. In the civilian world, you're supposed to be taking care of your family. You're supposed to be avoiding fights. You're supposed to have heightened situational awareness. You're supposed to see the threats coming and get out of the way, not walk in front of the bullets. I just don't recommend stuff like this. Rob Pincus, I see, from Personal Defense Network, made a comment. He says, "So right now over at Rockwell Tactical Group account, I'm being lambasted for criticizing this craziness. They claim that these are advanced students and the critics are rolling out the greatest hits in reply. Pincus doesn't carry a gun all the time. Pincus wasn't in the NAM." Well, no, he wasn't in Vietnam. He's not old enough. I've never seen Rob Pincus without a gun, folks. I mean, I've seen him many times, and he's always carrying a gun. Great instructor. But that's aside the point. I've seen this kind of stuff before. I don't recommend it. My response was, I know the military tends to train a little more this way, but I don't recommend it for civilians. The risk is too great for what you're getting out of it. And quite frankly, every once in a while, soldiers die in training. I get what they're trying to do here, but civilian students shouldn't be doing this. In my opinion, it's only a matter of time before one of their students will die. It's just crazy. Don't be doing that stuff. It's not worth the benefit. The risk is not worth the benefit of what you're getting out of that. I mean, if you're a thrill seeker, you know, go parachuting, do bungee cord jumping. Don't put your life in someone else's hands. This is probably a stranger that we're talking about. You're walking in front of him while he's shooting. That's crazy. Don't do this kind of stuff, okay? Just don't. Someone slips, falls down, someone makes a bad shot, boom, your head's gone. Just don't do this kind of stuff, okay? Work more at accuracy, your draw stroke. There's a lot of things you should be doing. And then if you're doing all these other fundamentals right, you're drawing, moving, shooting with tactical precision, you're going to be a lot better off time better spent on the basics, not stuff like this. You know, it sounds like this group, they want to make a name for themselves. They want to get more students to come in. And there are students that will pay to have their life put at risk. So just be careful, folks. Be careful who you let train you, okay? All right, what else we got here? Let's head on out. Something non-controversial. BearingArms.com. The great debate. Why are we still arguing over 9mm versus 45 caliber? Well, I'm not arguing about it. It's kind of set in my mind, but it says, if you've been in the firearms community for more than a few minutes, you've heard people argue about what caliber is best, worst, or just plain silly. And that's fine in and of itself, until it ends up distracting people from the realities of caliber selection as it applies to pistols for defensive shooting. If, to quote John Chapman, retired federal law enforcement officer and lead instructor of LMS Defense, gunfights are won in millimeters and milliseconds, then it should seem like people's time and energy would be better spent focusing on the perfection of their skills rather than making noise about which caliber is best. And I agree with John Chapman on that. Handgun stopping power is simply a myth. There, we said it. And the FBI agrees. They're referring to the FBI handgun wounding study that they do and routinely update. Not coincidentally, so do the laws of physics. Newton's third law deals with equal and opposite reactions and applies directly to this discussion because, simply put, the amount of recoil energy you feel when firing a gun is roughly the same amount of energy the person getting shot feels when being struck by the bullet. So forget about knocking someone off their feet. They might not even know they've been shot or slow down unless you hit something vital. And you know what? How do you hit something vital? Do you hit something vital by shooting the largest bullet that you can find? No. You hit something vital by being a good shot, by practicing tactical precision. That's how you win that gunfight. If we really want to talk about stopping power, we need to look at the things that actually stop humans. And according to research done by Greg Elifritz, a full-time police officer and owner of Active Response Training, handgun calibers don't really affect people that drastically or differently. In essence, we are relying on a physical or psychological stop to end someone's violent behavior. And you know what? Gosh, I agree 100%. I've read the Greg Elifritz study. If you haven't done that, send me an email, skipcorrell@hotmail.com, skipcorrell@hotmail.com, and I will send you a PDF file where you can read that, or just go out and do a search on Greg Elifritz handgun stopping power study. But read that. It really is basic to your training. Hitting someone in the central nervous system or causing enough damage to internal organs to cause them to lose consciousness through blood loss are examples of a physical stop. Correct. And all things being equal, bigger bullets do make bigger holes. True. But the added recoil and reduced magazine capacity of large caliber handguns quickly reach a point of diminishing returns. You know what, folks? What you should do is go ahead, take your 45 caliber, and then take your 9mm. Go out on the range. Use a shot timer. And then run the same drill with both guns while you're timing it. And see what are your shot groups like, for one thing. How accurate am I? Try to shoot the 45 as fast and as accurately as you can the 9mm. Most people are not going to be able to do that. Are there exceptions? Of course. You know, you got some guy, he's 250 pounds, and he's got big, meaty hands and strong arms. Yeah, he can handle the bigger recoil. But most of us don't fall into that category. I mean, people sometimes look at me funny when I recommend that they carry a 22 caliber. Some people can only handle a 22 caliber. And you know what? It's a tiny little bullet. But you got to put it in the right spot, whether it's a 45 or a 22. If you don't hit vitals, then you're not going to win the gunfight. So, shoot fast, shoot accurate. Stop arguing about what caliber and start training. Don't waste your time on all of that, folks. Send me your comments on that. I'd like to know what caliber you choose for your everyday carry. And hey, I'd like to know what your split times are too, and how accurate you are. I choose a 9mm. It's a good compromise for me. I used to shoot 40 caliber. I'm getting a mite long in the tooth now. I went down to a 9mm. I can shoot faster and more accurately with that 9mm. And according to the Greg Elefitch study, I'm still stopping the threat as quickly as you would with a 45 caliber. So, hey, it works for me. All right, folks, we are about out of time for this segment. But when we come back, we are going to have Jim Keller from the Big Buck Registry podcast. And we're going to be talking about, you know, his big buck season. He shot a big 10 point. And I saw a picture. This is a nice buck. And he shot it, right here in Barry County. I'm in Allegan County. He's in Barry County. So, hey, if you're in West Michigan, there are big bucks here. There really, really are. You don't have to always travel to Illinois or Ohio or Iowa to get those really big bucks. They are here. And not all of them are practicing situational awareness, especially during the rut. So we'll be talking to Jim Keller about that. Okay, in the next 2 minutes, I want you to go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, and see how they can protect you legally. And then go to elitefirearms.us and see how Larry Jackson can help you and your family choose the right firearm the first time around. Okay, when we come back, Jim Keller from Big Buck Registry Podcast. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking today with Jim Keller from BigBuckRegistry.com. Jim, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hey, Skip. Thanks for having me on. It's great to talk to you again.
Well, yeah. When we talked last, we were doing the big pregame show, the pre-hunt. I think it was like the end of September, and you were giving us, you know, the rundown on what was going to happen, the deer herd. And we, had a few good stories. But you've been hunting for a couple of months now, and so have I. And, you sent me a picture, must have been about a week ago or so. And I now officially hate your guts, Jim. I mean, I saw that buck and I go, that 10-point buck, that's bigger than my 3-pointer.
Well, that was that's a lot of years in the making, I'll tell you that. I'm like the last one in my family to get one worth bragging about. So I was the last one ever to kill one and the last one ever to get a decent one. So my turn was coming, that was for sure. So yeah, well, that was on the 17th actually. That was that Saturday after the opener.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually that's the same day that I
you know, shot my 3-point buck. But, you know, I tell you, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, that Escanaba in the Moonlight character. Jeff Daniels, the last, the oldest Sody to ever bag a buck, you know. You know, I'm 61 years old. I'm still waiting for my really big buck. But hey, you know, you got to have something to look forward to, right?
Yeah, we did some calculating. We figured that deer cost me about $8,000 a pound by the time I finally got one. So I'm not coming out ahead in the deal, I don't think, but I finally got him.
I know exactly what you mean. You know, I've had some good chances. I've got more stories than I do deer this year, but, you know, I got to tell you, sometimes the stories last forever. The venison, it's gone in 3 or 4 months.
That's very true. That's very true. I've got a lifetime of stories, that's for sure.
All right, well, before you tell us our story here, go ahead and talk just a minute here about Big Buck Registry podcast. How can people, what is it, and how can people listen to it?
Well, we come out, we used to come out weekly. We're doing it every other week now just because, as you probably know, over time, content gets harder and harder to come up with and keep original. So we may switch around a little bit and come back out with an every other week type, do the podcast 1 week, and then I do a session called the Deer News. We're thinking about turning that into maybe more of its own segment. But we're on all the major podcast sites. You can download us from the Apple iTunes. You can get us on Stitcher, iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify. We have a website, www.bigbuckregistry.com. We also have a Facebook page that you can find us on. And if you get a buck you want to be shown on our Facebook page, you can submit that and we'll post it for you. And it doesn't have to be, it can be your first buck, it can be the biggest buck, it can be anything you want. It's all about, you know, people's trophies and whether it's their first buck or their 100th buck, if it's something they're proud of, we like to post it. So you can go through there and look at deer from all over the country and, get a really good turnout. We have about 500,000 followers on Facebook. We get about 1 million downloads a year. So it's really taken off.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds great. So how long have you guys been, working on the Big Buck Registry?
Jay Scott started it about four and a half years ago, and actually I'm coming up on my 3-year anniversary having joined it. Mm-hmm. Started with Jay, who lives out in New Hampshire, and he did it, I think, just a couple times by himself, and had a guy on the show named Dusty Phillips from down in Ohio. And they got to talking offline, and Jay said, "Hey, you want to be on my podcast with me?" And so they became kind of a team. And then about a year and a half later, I joined them with the news segment, and we've been like the Three Musketeers ever since.
All right, so is it a 1-hour podcast then?
Yeah, it usually runs right about an hour. If we get an interview that goes longer, we'll break it up into two segments. But, we will interview just anybody who has a story behind a deer that they've taken, whether they're, you know, we've had famous people on there that you see on TV. We've had the guy next door, a friend of mine who got a nice buck a couple of years ago, we had him on. We have children on, women on, men on, anybody that has got a story to tell. So we just like to, it's kind of like a, almost like a verbal museum. We like to kind of capture the story and ask people kind of what some of their tricks of the trade are and what they do. If they worry about scent or scent control, scent management, what they use to take the deer with, tree stands, how high up, you know, all those kind of details. So it's as much a learning process as it is a storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's deer hunting. It's like half science, half art form, and you never know it all. You just got to keep learning and learning and learning the same mistakes over and over and over again. It's just amazing, but I don't know, maybe that's part of why I love it, because I will never, ever master deer hunting. It's just amazing. But
yep, I agree.
Jim, tell us about this 10-point buck. Tell me the story.
Well, this story goes back many years. So the property that I hunt on, I now own, but for many years I hunted it when it's just some friends of ours owned it. and finally got to buy it a few years back. And there was always this kind of waste field that the people who owned the farm raised horses, so they weren't really into farming it or anything. They would take the hay off it, but for the most part, they didn't plant crops or anything. And so this waste field is, as I purchased the land, and we kind of planned over the years, we wanted to make that into an area for food plots. Then we tried a couple different things over the year with brassicas and tried beans, and we finally, a friend of mine got a hold of a two-row planter, and we started planting corn on it and had pretty good luck with that last year. And then this year we planted the corn, and it was really strange because half of my corn was eaten by something. I don't know if it was a bug or it was deer. It was really weird because they ate it from the top down. And but they only ate half of it. So almost directly in the middle of the cornfield, half of it is all chewed up and the other half looks great. So, that we don't know what happened there. We never did figure that out. And then we built, it's out in an open field, and I'd always wanted to build a tower blind. So finally this summer, we got one of those put up, and it's been sitting there for a few months. The deer and everything are getting used to it. We planted some clover in there. And I also use it's called Border Patrol. It's from Killer Food Plots, and I plant that around it and make kind of a fence so it gives the deer some privacy. Really had good luck with that. And, so we got that planted and everything was looking good. And I was more curious to sit out there because you can see a long ways, and I just kind of wanted to see how the deer were moving. And we hadn't really gotten a lot of pictures this year like we usually do of any nice bucks. We had a few, but none that were regulars, and really far less than we usually did. And what I figured out as I was sitting there and kind of watching the deer move at a distance was just that their habits had changed, I think, because of the way we had planted some food plots and changed the terrain a little bit. So, you know, like you said, every year you learn something new. And so I've been watching it all archery and sat in that blind quite a bit. Saw a lot of deer, but never really close enough. And then on the 9th, I took the day off from work. And I just had some meetings and got out there in the afternoon. And my son was sitting probably 150 yards from me, and he saw a big buck in the corn. And then I saw it come out of the corn. It was probably 30 yards from him, but in the corn, and it was in the open for me because I was down on the corn that was all kind of chewed up. But he was about 80 or 90 yards from me, so no shot with a bow, at least for me. So we got to watch him, and we got to get all excited and got to keep thinking that he might show up again, but he didn't. And we saw a lot of small bucks this year. We saw a lot of doe, probably more deer than we've seen since EHD had hit this area probably 7 years ago. So seems to be really making a comeback. And we went out on Saturday morning, and a friend of my son's went who'd never gotten a deer, and we had been seeing a few little bucks around and some does, and he just wanted a deer, and sure enough, a little spike came along, and he shot that in the morning. So we got that taken care of, and they took it over to a processor and kind of filled up the afternoon with some things they wanted to do, and they were ready to go out in the afternoon, and I almost didn't go out. I figured, they're going to go out, and I'll let them go and have a couple of extra places to sit if they want to sit in my stand. But they had their mind made up. They're going to go the other side of the property. So I said, I'll go down and meet them out there. So we all got out there, and they went to their spots, and I went to mine, and just was kind of an uneventful night. I had a little button buck come in real close and got to watch him wander around. He seemed a little lost. And I was about 20 after 5, and all of a sudden I look up, and here is this big buck standing about in the same place the one had stood 8 days earlier, but was not the same buck. And so I had the binoculars out and kind of glassed him, make sure that we've got one running around there that looks big till you look close. He's got some really big beams, but just not much for tines. So I made sure it wasn't him, and like I said, it was getting kind of dark. And when I realized it was a shooter, at least for me, I'm using a 450 Bushmaster. It's the second year I've used it, so I haven't shot a deer with it yet. And put the scope right on the lungs and fired a shot and knew I'd hit him. And he actually ran towards me, so I shot one more time. I'm pretty sure I missed. And then he was running for a place to go through the border patrol that I'd planted. He was trying to get to the kind of escape hatch. And he stopped again, and this time I just made sure I didn't miss, and he went crashing into the Border Patrol and went over there, and sure enough, he was there. I couldn't believe it. He was he's 10 points. He had 11th point that was broken off, a little kicker off his, I think it was his G3 on the left side, and he weighed 176 pounds dressed.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Big deer, big long deer. Yeah, we're going to say he's probably 3.5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe older. And I just couldn't be happier. I think my son was happier than anyone because I bought the property a few years ago. This is the first deer I've killed off it. I've just kind of kept waiting for that right one to come along. And he and my dad have been taking some nice little bucks all along the way. And I just, you know, let them pass and hope they get them. And that's kind of how it's worked out. But this year I decided this one was mine. And no one else was around anyway. So if I didn't shoot him, he was probably just going to walk away. So we measured him. He's our measurements. He's 137 and an eighth. But I'll get somebody to measure him. That we're close. I mean, we're probably within an inch either way of him. But he's for me. That's a trophy for sure. That's a big Michigan buck.
Well, you know, I saw the picture. Nice wide rack. And you certainly looked happy in the picture, Jim.
So. Oh, that's probably a good, though, 37 years of waiting right there. So,
mm-hmm.
like I said, I would go out with my dad and brother all the time, and I swear I must have stunk or something because I just never saw the deer like they did. And probably wasn't as serious about it at the time, but when I did get serious, even then, I just wasn't seeing him. As a matter of fact, there was a year that my daughter was going to be born, and she was due any day. And actually, she just turned 21 yesterday, so it was 21 years ago. And I was fixing up a room to be her nursery, and I was running behind on the whole thing. And so my brother and I were going to go hunting, and he called me on a Friday night and said, "Hey, are you going to go out in the morning?" And I said, "No, I got to get this nursery done." And he said, "Well, do you mind if I sit in your stand?" And I said, "No, go ahead." You know, I hadn't been really, I mean, I was seeing deer, but always shared. And I get up in the morning and get around. It's probably about 8:30. I'm getting ready to start that nursery. And he calls me and says, "Hey, can you kind of help me track this? I just shot a big one." So long story short, I spent the whole morning helping him. I still didn't get the nursery done. And he shot a big 10 point out of my stand.
Don't you love when that happens?
Well, the thing is, it made me almost, I think, mentally ill a little bit, because after that, I would not miss a day. I mean, I was out there every moment I could be, because I thought this could be the day that I don't go out and, you know, the 10-point walks by. So I finally did get over that years later. But, it's been a long haul. I was glad to get that one down.
Well, Jim, congratulations. I'm happy for you. I really am. We're about out of time for this segment, but when we come back, I want to talk about your 450 Bushmaster, because I've been thinking about those, and then I'll tell you a couple of sob stories, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We got a 2-minute break here. While we're away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, EliteFirearms.us, and then go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and see what they can do for you there. We'll be coming back with Jim Keller from Big Buck Registry Podcast. This is Skip Coriel at Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with Jim Keller from Big Buck Registry Podcast. Jim, that was quite a big buck story you had for us last segment. I appreciate it. You said you shot that deer with a 450 Bushmaster, you know, and I've been hearing all kinds of stories about that. You know, one of my hunting buddies has one, but I've never shot one. But they just sound like they might be worth buying. Tell me a little bit about the setup that you use on that Bushmaster.
I've just got the plain Jane kind of, it's a Ruger. I think they call it the American model or something to that effect. They've come out with a newer one this year that I think is stainless steel and camouflage. Mine is just kind of a beige color stock. With a blued barrel. It's got a muzzle brake on it. It's got a short barrel on it. And then I did buy, I believe, the Leopold scope that they have that has a turret that you can kind of adjust for the yardage. So I did splurge and get that scope with it. I've been really happy with it. I take it to the shooting range, and it just stacks them as nice as you'd ever want them stacked. And previously I was hunting with a Savage 20-gauge with a 3-inch chamber, and you know, that also really stacked them, but had a pretty good punch. And this 450 Bushmaster just doesn't have much of a kick at all. It's at least compared to that 20 gauge or any shotgun. So for kids starting out, a lot of those, you know, like the 44 mags and all that, there's some neat options there for kids who you know, might be a little shy of the way the gun kicks. So, but this 450 is a dream. It not much kick, stacks them in there nice, and I was really happy with his performance.
Yeah, so I have to pitch this to my wife. So what I can do is I can say, listen, this would be a great gun for our 12-year-old, you know, for him
there
to shoot his first deer. I mean, it can be a selfish way of appearing to be non-selfish. And I'm all for that. And so that, what do they run? Somewhere between what, $500 and $1,000, something like that.
You know, I think if you look for a deal, there's a couple places around that we can talk about. I'll just tell you, I go over to Chance's Tire Not Seago. They've got some pretty good prices. You got Bob's Gun and Tackle and Hastings. They run a sale. You can get it pretty good. But I think you can get it even with a scope. I think you can find them for. Right, just under 400, I think.
Okay.
But again, it depends on if you go with, like, the model I have was pretty basic. And now they've got the fancier ones out. So, I have not priced them recently, but, there are some good deals to be had. And even Cabela's will run a sale once in a while that's, pretty competitive.
Yeah. What kind of cartridge are you shooting out of that?
Oh, geez. You know, I don't remember off the top of my head. It's, I don't remember how many greens it is. I want to say, I don't remember, Skip.
Okay.
It's a pretty standard cartridge, though, that I think it's a, is it a Federal brand? But there is one brand that goes right along with it, and I'm spacing on the name right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, you were talking about optics a few minutes ago. And boy, I tell you, Leopold's, it's a nice scope, and optics are, they're just so important. A lot of people, they'll spend all their money on the gun, And then, you know, they'll buy something, you know, fairly cheap, you know, for optics. But optics can just, I mean, it can extend your hunting time. It can clear everything up. It just makes a huge difference. So I'm a big optic man. So I'm glad you, you know, you didn't skimp on the optics. So
no, I'm really happy with that scope.
Well, Jim, you know, I'm going to tell you my big buck story, but you have to promise that you're not going to cry, okay?
Oh no.
Well, you know,
it would be a first if I do. So
well, you know, I was out there. You know, I hunt all October, you know, with my crossbow, and I just love that. And I'm primarily a meat hunter. You know, the area that I'm in, that I own property on, it's got some good genetics, but it's not really big, rack genetics. But the body sizes are good. So for what I need it, you know, it's not bad. So, you know, I'm out there and I think it was about, October 7th or so, you know, still early in the season. And I'm about 16 feet off the ground, just a hang on tree stand there. I just gotten done eating a salami and cheese sandwich. So, and I had that all put away and, you know, it's getting towards dark and I'm ready for the deer to come in. And I don't know how they can come in out of a swamp so quietly, but you know, this one came in from behind me. No matter what direction I face, they always come in from behind me. And so this deer coming from behind me, and it was a big-bodied deer, which is what I want. And, you know, I look down there, and he's 15 feet away from the base of my tree stand. And it is so hard to move, you know, from 15 feet up in a tree without them seeing you. So, you know, it's like he knew something was up and, you know, cause I'm making a little swishing noises, but I'm moving real slow and I got to move about 90 degrees and come to a standing position. It seemed like it took me 5 minutes to do that, but it probably only took me about 45 seconds to do that. Cause you know, every time they turn your way, you got to stop and, you know, just all the stuff that you go through. And so finally I get in the position where I want to shoot this deer, and 15 feet standing broadside, it's like, okay, you know, this is a gimme putt in golf. So I'm getting ready, I'm pulling up the crossbow, starting to look through the scope, and then my cell phone rang.
Oh no.
You know, I forgot to turn the stupid thing off, and my son was calling me about some stupid thing that could have waited, you know, another 35 seconds. But, you know, so I didn't get that deer, and it was a nice deer. And so I said, okay, you know, and I almost cried. I almost cried, but I didn't. You know, I'm a man. Yeah, hey, Marine Corps veteran. So I toughed it out, and I hunted for, geez, probably another 3 weeks without seeing anything good. And then I found an active scrape, and I set up a tree stand, you know, and I'm about 25 yards downwind of this scrape. And it's a good position, and the setup was great, and I'm facing what I think is the right direction. And, boy, I see this big buck. It was a big buck. Not as big as the one that you shot, but he was a nice buck. Probably about November 1st, he came in and, he was chasing a doe. And I just love when that happens, but he didn't come in any closer than about 50, 55 yards. And, you know, that's a long shot for me, even with my crossbows. So I just waited, you know, he'll come in. He didn't come in, you know, the doe ran off, he ran off. And then, so I thought, well, all right, I know he's checking his scrape out. So I just kept hunting that scrape, whenever the wind was right. And, boy, it was about 8 days later, he came in the morning, no dough with him this time. And I watch him come in, you know, I got time to stand up, to move around, and I get all set up, and he's got his nose down in the scrape. He's broadside to me, and I've got the crossbow up. I'm looking through. I put the crosshairs right behind his shoulder, about halfway up, and I'm thinking, all I got to do is press the trigger. And I knew my phone was turned off this time, which is good.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah. Well, and so, I pressed the trigger, and it didn't feel right. You know, the deer jumped and landed about 10 feet away and started looking around, and I'm going, okay, that didn't feel right. The recoil hit my shoulder, and I usually don't feel that at all. And mm-hmm. then I glance out, you know, about 3-4 feet in front of me, and there's a branch about 2 inches in diameter, and there's a big white gouge in that branch. The right limb on my crossbow hit it really hard, and I cried on that one. In fact, I almost vomited. I was just so upset because, you know, you can't reload a crossbow when the deer is 25 yards away and you've just shot
at him. No, you can't.
And so I just had to watch this deer, you know, would have been the biggest deer in my life, just kind of walk away, you know, and he wasn't spooked so that he ran away and started snorting. He just kind of moseyed on off. And, you know, so later on I settled for a little old 3-point, but, you know, at least I shot something. I shot this one out of spite, Jim.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I had something similar happen a few years ago with my compound, and that I was drawn on him, and it would have been, again, not as big as this buck, but would have been the biggest one I had ever shot at that time. And he came through, and he stopped, I mean, right in front of my 15-yard mark, and I was drawn back, and I was sighting in on him, and I just let up my arm a little bit. I must have relaxed or something, and you know how you, it's a cam, solo cam, and you know, once you get past that one point in the draw, I went into it too much, and then I just pulled my arm forward, and I didn't make any noise or anything, but I moved just enough, and he looked up at me and just trotted away, and I just couldn't even believe it. I was so relaxed getting ready for that shot that I just let up a little bit, and it pulled my arm forward.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing with archery. I mean, I hunted with a compound for, you know, decades, and they're so unforgiving. You do one tiny little thing wrong, because the buck, he's already got the edge. He's got the advantage. He can hear better, you know, smell better, he can see better. He's got all the advantages, so you have to do everything perfect every single time. You make one tiny little mistake, and, you know, it's sayonara. He's out of there. So
yep.
It's definitely a challenge. Well, I hope to change that. I'm not done yet. You know, got a few days
Me
left
either.
Here in the gun season, but I'll keep trying. You know, I did, so I've got a doe, I've got that small buck, and then just a couple of days ago, I hope it won't change your opinion of me. I got some roadkill, you know, but I'm from Barry County, so that's okay. I mean, grew up on roadkill.
That's right. It's a delicacy here.
That's right. Well, hey, it was still warm and it hadn't stiffened up yet, so I knew it was good. But, you know, if you're going to miss two big bucks, then, you know, I probably deserve the roadkill. But
you get a consolation prize. That's right.
That's right. Hey, at least we've got meat in the freezer.
Exactly.
Well, hey, Jim, good luck to you for the rest of the season. I hope you get another big buck. Once more, before you go, tell people about Big Buck Registry Podcast.
Thanks. It's the Big Buck Registry podcast. That's bigbuckregistry.com, and on there it lists all the different ways you can download us, but you can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, you can get us on Spotify and iHeartRadio. All those download us, listen to us. It comes out every other week, and we're at over 200 episodes. So you can, if you haven't listened to us before, there's plenty of history there. You can go back and listen to old episodes.
All right, that sounds
fantastic. And if you get
fantastic.
A big buck, you know, send us. Yeah, you get a big buck, send us an email and a picture, and maybe we'll even have you on the show.
All right, that sounds great. Okay, Jim. Now you're just boy, I'm just inside Allegan County, over Gun Lake Way. You're in Barry County, correct?
Yep, I live in Hastings.
Ah, all right. You know, why don't we have lunch? We have got to have lunch, okay? So let's put that on our list. Okay, folks, bigbuckregistry.com. Check them out. You'll learn a lot about hunting and a lot of good stuff. Jim Keller, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Thank you, Skip. I had a great time talking with you.
All right. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. We got a 2-minute break. Go ahead and check out our sponsors, elitefirearms.us and then firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all our law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a Louisiana woman who owns a .22 rifle used it to defend herself against a two-legged snake. When someone came to her door, she thought it was the delivery man with a package she was expecting. Instead, she found a man who started talking, quote, like a stalker, saying he had been watching the home and such like that. As he droned on, his hands wandered between his legs, and he began touching himself through his pants. That was lewd enough to make the woman grab her rifle and shoot. He bolted as the bullet struck the ground at his feet.
Thanks, Colonel. This one sounded kind of strange, so I wanted to get additional facts before passing judgment. Here's what I found out. The woman answered her door and was standing outside her home trying to get her three small dogs to go back inside. That's when the man started touching himself inappropriately and making lewd comments to her. She ran back inside, got a Ruger 10/22 rifle, and shot the ground in front of him. She told reporters that, quote, I shot towards the ground and screamed at him to not come back. He left out of here with a hot foot. He was like a bank robber. He was gone. Well, in my opinion, she didn't handle this one very well for the following reasons. Number one, she never should have opened the door in the first place. According to the news article, the man was covered in tattoos, wearing civilian clothing, and driving a beat-up white car. That doesn't sound like the FedEx delivery man to me. Two, she was not legally justified in using deadly force, and shooting in the direction of another person is definitely use of deadly force, whether you're trying to kill him or not. Laws vary, so check out the laws in your state to be sure. And three, once she ran back inside, why not just close the door and lock it? Once you are safely inside, then get your gun in case he tries to break in. And you'd certainly call the police and get them involved as quickly as possible. Now, don't get me wrong. This guy was no doubt a creep and a criminal. And this probably wasn't the first time he'd done things like this. He was definitely potentially dangerous. And he hadn't yet done anything to justify firing a gun in his direction. Fondling yourself in front of a woman and making lewd remarks is creepy and should be taken seriously. However, what this woman did could have landed her in trouble with the criminal justice system. So be careful and exercise good judgment before discharging your firearm to scare off intruders. But all's well that ends well, and we're happy he was scared off and that no innocent parties were hurt during this incident.
So this is another case where a gun didn't decide to shoot somebody.
That's right, another case.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Jim Keller, our man in Barry County, about all things big whitetail buck. Congratulations again, Jim, on your 10-point. It was a great, great buck and an even better story. I'm a little biased, but quite frankly, your story was exciting, but mine was much more bizarre. And hopefully, it'll never happen again. Folks, always turn off your cell phone before you get up in your tree. It's got to be like the number one rule. Well, number two rule. Number one rule is always wear a safety harness and be safe up there. Anyways, Jim, thanks. Big Buck Registry Podcast. Check that out. Now, we were talking about that 450 Bushmaster, and you know, that really, really interests me. I know it's become popular here in Michigan just in the last couple of years. And so I did a little bit of research on that. And I've got this article from AmericanRifleman.org. That would be, you know, the NRA. It says, tested the 450 Bushmaster Ruger American Rifle. And that is what Jim said he used to bag this big 10-point. It's always interesting to see how changes in consumer demand, technology, regulations, and politics mingle together to shape and influence the ever-shifting shooting industry landscape. The results are sometimes confusing, occasionally frustrating, but often surprising. The rifle tested for this review is a case in point. The new bolt-action Ruger American Rifle Ranch, chambered in 450 Bushmaster, was inspired in large part by new deer hunting regulations in Michigan. That's right, folks. All of us Michiganders, we are inspiring the gun industry to change. The result is a handy, lightweight brush gun that packs plenty of punch. Michigan expanded what was formerly known as the shotgun zone in the Lower Peninsula into the limited firearm deer zone in 2014, much to the delight of local hunters. In addition to shotguns, deer hunters can now use rifles chambered for straight-walled cartridges between 1.1 sixteenth inch to 1.80 inch in length, topped with 35 caliber or larger bullets. This definition allows for popular big boy revolver cartridges, including the 357 Magnum, 44 Magnum, 454 Casull, and 500 Smith & Wesson. However, there is a straight-walled rifle cartridge designed for the AR-15 platform, which also meets the Michigan requirements. The 450 Bushmaster Thumper Round launches 452 caliber bullets weighing 250 grains or 260 grains from a 1.70 inch long cartridge case at velocities over 2,000 feet per second.
The resulting round boasts performance on par with the 4570 Government, but in a more compact configuration, with Michigan hunters buying up straight-walled cartridge carbines and rifles like hotcakes, the folks at Ruger saw an opportunity to modify an existing platform to fill the niche. And it would appear that I am way behind the curve on this one. I have to buy one of these. So if anyone knows where I can get a really good deal, one that would satisfy the scrutiny of my wife, then please let me know. I'm going to have to get a good deal on this to justify it. But you know what? I'm shooting with a 12-gauge shotgun right now. And most of the time, that does the job. But I tell you, it'd be nice to have the extended range on that. I told you that one of my hunting buddies, Bobby is one of my favorite hunting buddies because he's just got, you know, character up the wazoo. He's a lot of fun to hunt with. I said, Bobby, you just got one of these 450 Bushmasters. You know, what's the range on that? Maximum effective range. And he says, at 200 meters, it drops 9 inches. And then at 300 meters, it drops 15 inches. And boy, you know, a shotgun slug can drop that much at 100 meters. So, boy, it sounds like, boy, basically down here in lower Michigan, if you can see it, you can probably shoot it. He says it kicks less than a 20-gauge, but hits hard and has better range than a slug. So, hey, I got to get one. One more thing. I got to buy the red dot sight, and now I've got to buy a Ruger 450 Bushmaster. I'm going to have to sell some more books. Folks, get out there. Buy my books. Buy the God Virus series. 4 books in one. It's on Amazon. Buy 5 of them for Christmas and take my classes. Why? Because I need to buy a 450 Bushmaster. So get out there. Give me all of your money. I know, it's shameless, but it sounds like a great firearm. I definitely got to get me one of these. Well, we are run. Oh my gosh, we're out of time. I ran over. I'd apologize, but it was just too good a show. I can't apologize for this. All these big buck stories. Jim Keller on Big Buck Registry podcast. It was great. All right, this coming week, we're going to be speaking with Tom Lambert, president of Michigan Open Carry. And we are going to be talking about, mandatory training, government mandatory training versus the Second Amendment. Some people want training to be mandatory, imposed by the government. Others want to say, hey, it's our Second Amendment right. We shouldn't have to train in order to carry a gun for personal defense. All kinds of controversy there. Tom Lambert, president of Michigan Open Carry, he's going to give us his opinion on that, and I'm sure it'll be a strong one if I know Tom, and it'll be well thought out. So get ready for that next week. Homework assignment. I want you all to go out, buy a copy of Die Hard. Watch it. It's good for the soul. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!